Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. After President Trump made the decision last week to withdraw all U.S. armed forces from northern Syria, bipartisan concerns about the move have largely proven correct. Turkish forces immediately began moving troops into the region, and subsequent airstrikes have left roughly 70,000 people displaced. In northern Syria, Kurdish forces, who were instrumental in the U.S.-led fight against ISIS, decided over the weekend to enter into a partnership with the Assad-led Syrian government in an agreement brokered by Russia. And on Monday, Assad's forces began moving into towns in northern Syria. As all of this is unfolding, The Takeaway wanted to hear how members of the Kurdish diaspora in the United States are reacting to the news. Here's one message we got from a student named Rawand Aziz.
The invasion in Rojava has affected me more than I thought was possible. It replaced a lot for me, especially education. For example, I spent 2 months undeterred studying for an exam that's coming up next week. But now instead of studying, I've been spreading protest dates in different cities over the world. As much as I hate how much I've been pulled away from my education recently, I can't blame myself. So much of my family is in Syria right now, and I can't stop thinking about them. I wish the media recognized this attack for what it is, a genocide. Turkey wants to, quote, correct the demographics in the region, and they have been targeting fleeing civilians with artillery. I think of my old and young relatives being in this situation, running from murderers who want them in particular dead. And I use that image to justify how I've changed.
For more now, I'm joined by Dr. Amir Sharifi, linguist and Kurdish human rights activist. Amir, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Your immediate thoughts regarding the U.S. Green-lighting the Turkish forces to move in, did this come as a surprise to you?
Actually, heartbreaking, and it's the horrific, basically, images that one sees on television screens and the cries of children in flight and amputated, mutilated, you know, bodies and body parts. The mother killed in front of her house in Hamishlu, 200,000 people basically en masse to nowhere, no haven, no sanctuary. That is basically something that has really haunted me and probably many people in the world, the Kurdish community and diaspora in particular, and friends and relatives who have family ties in Rojava, Western Kurdistan. So really it has been a very traumatizing and traumatic experience for the Kurdish community. We had a demonstration yesterday, and fortunately we were supported by Armenians, the Greeks, the Jewish community, many other communities in front of the Turkish consulate. Even though it was a Sunday, we had a great turnout, about, I would say, 500 people showed up to express their solidarity, to denounce these really savageries, this genocidal campaign which is underway, and to put pressure on the U.S. administration to halt these genocidal criminal acts of the Turkish government.
Are people you're speaking to reacting generally the same to this, Amir?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the only difference is that the world now is on our side, but unfortunately, Donald Trump has his own basically callous, cruel ways of dealing with this issue and jeopardizing human lives as if it was worth nothing. Not to mention the American ideals, the American basically national interests, leaving a region in total chaos in the midst of a human tragedy, a humanitarian crisis, which is unfolding before our very eyes.
Amir, does the Kurdish community in the United States feel like they have a political voice at all?
Unfortunately, we are basically a minority within minorities, and therefore we don't really do as much as we wish. But fortunately, this Rojava, Western Kurdistan revolution and their gallantry, the feminism, the plural democracy, the secular, really, foundations of a new society that they had managed to build in the midst of chaos and war, that gave us a new voice, a voice that basically was diminishing. Kurdish resilience basically survives, and at times, critical times, it really thrives as well. But we don't feel that as really a minority, we do have enough voice, primarily because we are also a divided basic nation. Kurdistan has been divided between Iran, Iraq, Turkey, and Syria, and therefore you have those geographical, cultural, historical, cultural basic boundaries and divisions, even though we do have a common heritage, common basic history and culture. That also undermines our ability to have a unified and coherent voice, given divisions within and across the political basic spectrum. But Rojava, in a way, transformed that and brought the Kurdish basically national liberation movement to another level. It made it transnational, and it gave us a new voice, which we did not have. Now everyone in the world knows about the Kurds. When I came to this country as a graduate student, Americans did not have the slightest idea who the Kurds were. Every encounter was a lesson in geography, which often led to fiasco because it is too complex. But now I think it is different. I wish we had a greater voice.
How concerned are you, Amir, about the U.S.-Kurdish relationship going forward?
I don't know if it could go any forward. I mean, we have seen repeated betrayals from the United States, traceable to 1945, when the Republic of Mahabad, and Wilson wrote about that it was more an American democracy. It had American ideals, women's rights, you know, popular democracy in a way, but Americans supported the oppressive regime of the Shah. And it was basically defeated. The leaders of this republic were hanged in the public square. And it goes all the way back to, you name it, 1980s, 1990s in Iraq, when the U.S. sided with Saddam Hussein. And then if you follow through 1991, this was when Father Bush basically urged the Kurds to rise in rebellion. They did. And then support did not materialize. Consequently, the Kurds were massacred, and then we had hundreds of thousands of people who had to flee their land. And move on to the more basically recent time, when the city of Afrin last March was occupied by the Turkish forces. Again, this was another betrayal. It happened under the supervision of the United States. The same thing happened in Kirkuk in Iraq. So it has been repeated betrayals. But this time, Kurds had more, probably, confidence and trust. But unfortunately, they were once again betrayed. And this is the greatest betrayal of all times.
Dr. Amir Sharifi, we're going to have to leave it there. He is a linguist at the University of California, Long Beach, and a Kurdish human rights activist. Dr. Sharifi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We asked you to weigh in.
My name is Rhoda Hajo. I live in Phoenix, but I was born in Damascus. I'm a Kurdish American, and my family's from northeastern Syria, or how we like to call it, Rojava. Those of us who were able to emigrate left as soon as we could to Europe and America, but not all of us could. Not all of us were that lucky. I have an aunt and a few cousins still left in Qamishli, and right now, we don't even know if they're okay. We know that there are airstrikes in the area, and I spend all my time looking up maps as clear as I can to see where the bomb struck, hoping it's not my aunt's house. My mom finally was able to get through to her yesterday, and the only thing she could tell us was, if God says we die today, then we die. I don't know what to do at this point. I don't know how I can help. We can't even send money to help. I'm just so worried. I think Americans are starting to realize that Turkey really isn't an ally. The true ally in the area are the Kurds. 11,000 Kurdish men and women died fighting and beating ISIS. And then out of nowhere, Trump backs down, Erdogan feels like it's time to attack the Kurds, and it just happens overnight. The Turkish government will tell you that they're only hitting military targets, but that's not true. We've already seen civilian deaths. Today, in Qamishli, a newborn was killed. An 11-year-old boy was killed. As inhumane as that already is, they're also hitting ISIS prisons and letting these captives out. There's no rhyme or reason for this. I don't understand why Trump did this. It was a bad policy decision, and he knows it. His generals know it. The American public knows it.
We also talked to Nasir, a Kurdish-American we found on the Kurdistan subreddit. He sent us a voice memo.
My name is Nasir. I'm an American of Kurdish ancestry. I have to say I'm absolutely disgusted by the reporting from the mainstream media about what's happening in northeastern Syria. And frankly, I don't think most Americans care or are even mildly curious about what's happening. And if they do, the mainstream media is right there to misinform them or rile them up emotionally.
You can keep calling us. Our number is 877-8MYTAKE or email a voice memo to takeawaydigital@gmail.com. This is The Takeaway.